Turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 42. I'm going to meet you there in just a moment. Genesis chapter 42. As we prayed together a moment ago, we had a great afternoon honoring our seniors. Appreciate Noah for putting that together and all those who helped with the cake. The cake was great. But all who came, all who encouraged our seniors, we appreciate you for taking some extra time at the Sunday afternoon to do that. It's always very encouraging. Genesis 42 is not going to be our text for tonight. We're going to use something found in this chapter to introduce our subject for tonight. Because you may recall that when Joseph's brothers come before him in Egypt, you remember they don't recognize him. And we can understand why that would be the case. It had been a couple of decades since they had seen him. And of course, they sold him into slavery, so they probably figured he had died. If he had been enslaved, they probably figured he had been just worked literally to death, or at least was chained or something like that. Plus, they would have never figured out that he is now second in command in Egypt. And so even if they thought he was still living, he surely would not be in this sort of situation, this sort of high role. He would be dressing like an Egyptian. He would have that ornamentation, all that sort of thing. But there's a detail in this text that's interesting. And again, it's going to set up our thoughts for tonight. Because in Genesis 42, you might remember, the brothers are feeling guilty for what they did all those years before. And they're talking among themselves, speaking their language, Hebrew, of course. But then look at verse 23 of Genesis 42. The Bible says there, they did not know that Joseph understood them, for there was an interpreter between them. Now, I've sometimes wondered if that interpreter knew that Joseph didn't speak Hebrew and just went along with it. But for sure, the brothers did not know that Joseph could understand them as they talked among themselves. But it took an interpreter for this man, Joseph, to understand, though he did already. But that word interpreter is interesting. Because that same word can be used in the Old Testament in either a positive way or a negative way. You see, the word translated interpreter there literally just means to make a mouth. And you can understand why it will be used for an interpreter. Maybe you've tried to learn a foreign language, and the teacher teaches you how to say it, but part of what they do is they show you how to hold your mouth to say it properly. You may remember a lot of school teachers really struggled during COVID teaching little children language because their faces were masked. And one of the ways children learn is to see how a mouth forms itself to form words. That's what that word means. He formed his mouth to change from Hebrew into this ancient Egyptian language. But that very same word can also be used in a very negative way. Because you see, that very same Hebrew word is found many times in the Old Testament translated by things such as to scoff or scoffing or to be a scoffer. And I think if you think about what that word means, you figure out why. Because here is someone who is interpreting the world in the way they see it, and they want you to know about it. They're making a mouth, interpreting the world as they see it. Now with that in mind, turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And what we're going to do tonight is take a tour through the book of Proverbs. We're going to have a lot of verses, but all of them will be in that particular book. They remind us simply to not be that way, to not be a scoffer. And knowing what that word means, what I hope we see is that we're going to be encouraged here to not be that way, to not make mouths at the world, to not interpret the world the way we see it, but instead to find the way God would have us to see it. That word, by the way, is found 17 times in the book of Proverbs. Don't worry. We're not going to study all 17. We're going to choose 7 tonight to make 7 broad points of application. By the way, one we're not going to study, but you may find interesting, is found in Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler. Whoever is led astray or deceived thereby is not wise. The word mocker in that verse is this word. It is as if Solomon is saying, I don't care how much you drink, but what the choice you're making is, the drink is interpreting the world for you. It's making fun of you. That's what Solomon is saying. So if you want to take that to a conversation about social drinking, good luck. Because Solomon is saying the wine is making fun of you and it's interpreting the world for you. But with that out of the way, I want us to think about 7 passages, 7 themes in Proverbs about this concept of interpreting the world and making sure we see it God's way. First of all, a scoffer fails to mature. It's one thing to scoff one time. We've probably all done it. We've all probably believed we were right at some one time and let everybody know about it, even though we were wrong. But to be a scoffer, that is just to live this way, where I think I have the right to interpret the world the way that I want to see it, and I want to make sure you know that I'm right all the time, without going to Scripture as the only real source of wisdom, is a dangerous way to live. In Proverbs chapter 1, on the screen I've got verse 22, but look at what's said beginning of verse 20 and reading through verse 23. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Here's our key question. How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. And the same theme, by the way, is picked up in Proverbs 14, verse 6, where Solomon simply says, a scoffer seeks wisdom in vain. What's being said in those couple of verses is that one who thinks that he or she is always right, they already always have the right interpretations, they're not going to mature. Because after all, they already have it all figured out. So why would they push themselves and press themselves to learn anything new and to try to interpret the world in a different way? In fact, again, that verse 122 tells us they delight in their scoffing. These are people who are happy with how they interpret life, even if it's foolish, if it's false, and if it's leading to destruction. That's one reason why I wanted to read all those verses in Proverbs 1, because we fight against this by noticing what's found there. Solomon says wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is calling out for people. If we will simply look for God's wisdom, it's there. It's as if wisdom stands at a street corner, and it's pictured this way more than once in Proverbs, calling out to people to try to find that wisdom because it's readily available. God's wisdom is all around us if we will simply realize, I don't have all the answers, but He does. By the way, before moving on, let me say quickly that sometimes we may think this is something that doesn't tempt us very well until we begin to get things right. And because I begin to get things right in this part of my life, I can begin to let down my guard and figure I've got it all figured out everywhere. But God's wisdom is for all of our life, not just one particular area that I might do well in. A scoffer fails to mature. Number two, a scoffer cannot take correction. There are three passages, on the screen before you that all share this theme. And it's a common thread. You could actually add to this, by the way, as far as the theme in the book of Proverbs. But all three of these passages teach much the same thing. Proverbs 9, verses 7 and 8. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Your translation may say, does not listen to chiding. And then Proverbs 15, verse 12, a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. When we understand what that word means, we get the point, we get the reasoning behind these statements of wisdom. If someone believes that he or she has already interpreted the world the right way and is not a thing anyone can tell me, whether it's a wise person or a parent or anybody else, well, that causes me to realize, that's not going to cause me to realize I'm wrong because I've already made up my mind. I'm not going to change my thinking. By the way, for our young people, did you notice that one of these specifically mentions parents? This is a lesson for all of us, but Proverbs 13:1 specifically mentions listening to the wisdom, the teaching, the instruction, the word is, of a father, a parent. But let's call it like it is. That's not just for young people. None of us likes to be rebuked all the time or chided all the time. It's not a pleasant experience. But a wise person takes what is an unpleasant experience to heart because they realize that what's being said is out of a heart of love and hopefully is for his or her own good, especially if it's truth. A scoffer has already decided they know the truth, or at least they think they do. So they're not going to listen to wise counsel. Ultimately, they're not going to listen to the wise counsel even of God Himself. By the way, If you want to see an example of this, just spend 5 minutes on social media and ruin your mental health by reading the comments. That'll take care of it. Appeals to Scripture, appeals to common sense, appeals to truth, those are just brushed away by people who have already decided that those who appeal to Scripture are bigoted, cruel, dumb, out of touch, phobic, hating, and attacking. We need to be people who take advice. Yes, always comparing it with Scripture and giving those who give correction the benefit of the doubt. But we cannot just claim to have it figured out already. Number three, scoffing leads to lonely consequences. Proverbs 9, verse 12, excuse me, is, to me, at least part of it, a bit of a depressing verse, but it's filled with wisdom, where the Bible says, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Now, the first part of that verse seems almost wrong. Wisdom helps other people, doesn't it? Well, only if they want to be helped. But wisdom helps you for sure. But the latter part of that verse, again, it's just depressing in a way. If you are one who interprets the world your own way, who will not listen to counsel, Solomon says, you alone will bear it. It is going to lead to a life of very lonely consequences. Now keep in mind, as all these are, this is a proverb. That is, this is a statement of general truth. Sometimes scoffers have a following, at least for a while. Because how many of us want to be around someone very long who just knows they are right all the time and wants you to know that they are right all the time? By the way, when you get scoffers together, you could probably sell tickets. Because what gets interesting is, I know I'm right, and they know they're right, even though those two things don't even agree with one another. They both could be wrong, but all we're going to do is go our separate ways, arguing and fussing and fighting, because both of us have to be right all the time. It leads to lonely consequences. You ever known someone who just knew they were right about something and would not let it go, even when shown logically it is completely false? This is sad to say, but it's true. After a while, you feel like you just have to stand back and watch their world collapse. And that's what this proverb is saying will happen to those who live that way. Number four, removing a scoffer leads to peace. Proverbs 22 and verse 10. If you want a good verse for social media use, here's one to mark. Proverbs 22 and verse 10 says, drive out a scoffer, and strife will go out, and quarreling and abuse will cease. The ESV from which I read uses three words, strife, quarreling, abuse. The New King James Version has contention, strife, and reproach. One more modern translation has arguments, quarreling, and name-calling. The literal Hebrew here is a list of three things: a contest, a judgment, and a disgracing. If you don't want those things in your life, drive those influences away. And the phrase, by the way, drive out in this verse, means just that. You may find it interesting, that is a word that sometimes was used in Hebrew to describe a divorce. You divorce yourself from these things. You don't have to just sit and listen to or read those who are spewing their own interpretations of the world when they will not listen to especially biblical reasoning and truth. In fact, if you want peace, Solomon says, let those things go. Now, I made a little bit of a light a few moments ago about social media. Folks, it amazes me how many people will sit and read comment after comment after comment by those who clearly are scoffers. It is not a sin to unfollow those who refuse to listen to truth and who refuse to have a false view of the world challenged, especially by Scripture. Just let it go. You will have far less contests, far less cruel judgments, and far less disgrace showing up before your eyes. It's a whole lot more peaceful when those things aren't constantly in front of us. Number five, scoffer is a synonym for arrogance. You know, there are some proverbs that are just very, very biting. If you're turning to Proverbs 21:24, I'm not going to read it, But just take a glance at Proverbs 19:25 if you want to read a proverb that really is just biting in how it words things. But Proverbs 21:24 is also a very biting, just blunt verse. As Solomon says, scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. I don't think the Hebrew word means this. When I read it, I say, wow. I mean, that is absolutely as blunt as it gets. When you see someone who just refuses to not be full of arrogant pride. By the way, that phrase arrogant pride literally means an outburst of the passion of presumption. When you see someone who just refuses to give that up, this verse says that person's nickname is scoffer. The person's name basically is self-interpreter. By the way, the King James Version makes the first part of this verse, arrogant, haughty, and scoffer, all the names of this individual. The point of the verse is that you cannot separate one who is a scoffer from being one who is totally filled with presumptuous pride. It basically has become that person's identity. It is a synonym for arrogance and pride. Knowing that, I want to read a quote to you from a writer named Moyer that reminds us of just how seriously God takes the sin of pride. And as I read this, remember, a scoffer here is equated with that way of life, that way of thinking. This writer said this, quote, "As finite creatures, we cannot fully grasp God's infinite revulsion against pride's rebellion. God hates pride. What makes pride so singularly repulsive to God is the way that pride contends for supremacy with God Himself. Pride sets itself in opposition to God. The only fitting response for God is to oppose the proud. That is probably why pride is not simply another sin among many, but a sin in a category of its own. Other sins lead a sinner further away from God, but pride is particularly heinous in that it attempts to elevate the sinner above God." End quote. If someone is a scoffer, Proverbs 21:24 is basically putting that individual in that category. How dangerous is that? If you have it all figured out, you don't need wisdom. Not even from God. That is arrogance and pride of the highest degree. And that is setting God at opposition to you, which is exactly where you never want to find yourself. And because of that, number six, scoffers will be punished. This should come as no surprise, but it still needs to be said. Anything God opposes, He will not let stand forever. Yes, He is patient, but He will not let sin stand forever. It will be punished. And that's true of this as well. Proverbs 19, verse 29 says, "Condemnation," that word literally means a sentence of judgment, "is ready for scoffers and beating for the backs of fools." What's interesting is many of us would think the second part of that verse is the worst punishment possible. For one to have their back beaten, it has to be the worst. What's interesting to me is the first part never says who the condemnation is from. If it's from other people, then maybe the second part of the verse would be the worst. But if the condemnation is from God, then that's the worst part of the verse. Because you don't want God bringing a negative sentence against you. The punishment is sure for this. Proverbs 21:11 does not begin with the word if. It begins with the word when by saying when a scoffer is punished, the simple becomes wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. That verse puts the scoffer at an even lower level than those who are described as simple, or some translations have the naive. Even one who is naive sees a scoffer against punishment and is at least smart enough to start looking for wisdom. But that's how low God views those who are scoffers. They will be punished. And they're worse off than people who have simply been naive, but who are at least open and honest enough to start reassessing things and beginning to try to learn. And you're going, man, this is a really negative sermon. Would you please end with something positive? Yes, number seven, I'm positive that scoffers are an abomination to mankind. Proverbs 24, verses 8 and 9. "Whoever plans to do evil will be called a schemer. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind." How much more blunt can you get than that? The word abomination is a word, Hebrew word that means unclean or even disgusting. You may remember that word is often used in the Old Testament to describe things like idolatry, the worship idols, even the idols themselves, because to God those things are disgusting. They're completely unclean. That's the word used here to describe what a scoffer is to the human race. Why? Because it makes that person a god in his or her own eyes. It removes the God of heaven from his rightful place above that person. It removes other people from their rightful place on even plane with that person, because the scoffer has interpreted the world in his or her own way, and amazingly, they are always right. The world bends the way they want to bend. The truth fits however they want to fit. They are judge and jury of everybody else because they already have it figured out, and that is disgusting to God, because he is the only one who is always right, who cannot lie, who is truth, the only one who can be a perfect judge of all people, since he alone has all knowledge and all wisdom. Many years ago, there was a small town church that decided to get really, really modern and replace old kerosene lamps with electric lighting. Most of the congregation, by the way, this is not a real story, so don't start getting mad. Most of the congregation was really excited about it. The light was supposed to be brighter. There wouldn't be any soot anymore. There was no trimming the wicks before services, those sorts of things. But one older gentleman named Mr. Jenkins, he wasn't impressed. After all, he had been at that church for 50 years. He helped install some of those lamps with his own hands. He was the one who came on Saturday evenings to trim the wicks. He believed those lamps were part of what made the church reverent, and electric lights in his mind were worldly. They were showy. He had to be suspicious of them. But he made his plea at the congregational meeting. Those lamps have been good enough for the Lord's work for 50 years. And he gave the famous line, if they were good enough for Paul and Silas, they're good enough for us. Nobody had the heart to tell him they didn't have kerosene in the first century. But still, it passed. The electricians came. The kerosene lamps came down. The lights went in. On the following Sunday, Mr. Jenkins arrived as usual a few minutes early. Even though he didn't want to, he flipped on the lights. And the room was filled with beautiful, clean light, to which he folded his arms and muttered under his breath, "It's too bright." And for weeks he complained, "It doesn't feel the same. It's not as holy. I don't think I can worship like this." And eventually, frustrated that nobody else seemed bothered by this horrible thing, he began attending a very small congregation across town that still used kerosene lamps. A few months later, one evening during a winter service at that small congregation, one of the lamps was knocked off the wall by a child. The flame caught a curtain. The curtain caught a wall. The wall caught the rafters. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but the building was destroyed. Standing outside, Mr. Jenkins, as he watched the smoke rise, finally admitted, "Maybe electricity isn't so bad after all." When I view the world the way only I want to view the world, I look like Mr. Jenkins before the moon. What I'm willing to see, there is logic, there is reason, there is truth, there is grace, and I can change. See, my interpretation of the world is not always right, unless it is always filtered through Scripture. That's the only way I can know if the way I see the world is actually correct. Christians need to be people who are willing to say, "I don't have it all figured out, but God does." We need to be willing to listen, willing to learn, willing to admit failure, willing to admit gaps in our knowledge, willing to grow in our ability to seek wisdom from God, because only He can interpret the world for us properly. If He's the one who made it, if He's the one who sustains it, and if He is the one who will end it, then He's the only one who knows how this world actually turns, who knows what truth actually is, who knows what things are worth fighting for and what things aren't, who knows what things are eternal and what things just need to be left behind. Don't be a scoffer. Instead, use your mouth to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. Tonight, maybe, you need to confess his sweet name for the first time. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And based upon that truth, be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe as a Christian, maybe what we talked about tonight is not an issue at all. Maybe something in your life has been amiss. Your life of faith has not been what you would like for it to be. You know it's not what it needs to be. And you want us to pray with you, to encourage you, to help you. Whatever your need is, will you come? Always stand and sing. Encourage you.